This is a No Surf Music Burning River Fireside Chat. This is the Towns Van Zandt Tribute Special Edition featuring guests Mary Cutrafello, G.S. Harper, and Brent Kirby. I'm your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammond. For the best in Americana, alt country, indie rock, and more, point your browser to nosurfmusic.com. All right, and this is another edition of No Surf Music Burning River Fireside Chats. This is your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammond, and today is a special Towns Van Zandt edition, and I'm really happy to have three great musicians here talking with us today. And let's just have them introduce themselves so we know who we're talking to. We'll start with Mary, because you're the out-of-towner.
What's up, man? My name is Mary Cutrafello. I live in St. Paul, Minnesota. And mostly just play guitar and sing and write my own songs. But I've been known to play with Jimmy Dale Gilmore for a while. Play with Titian and Hosa for a while. And,
What's that again?
I make whatever noise needs making.
Okay. And sometimes there's a little bit of extra noise around here too, but that's all good.
It's a good question. Where's the bar?
Yes.
That's what we're all here for.
Indeed.
My name's G.S. Harper. I live in Cleveland, Ohio for the last 15 years. I'm originally from San Angelo, Texas. I perform under my own name. I've released 4 records that way. I also play with a band called California Speedbag and a band called The Hippies. And I play bass in the Mary Cutrafello Band. And tonight we're all here to pay homage to town, so that's what we're doing.
All right. And yes, this man is everywhere around Cleveland, so if you're ever here, you'll never miss him. And then finally,
I'm Brent Kirby, and I'm from Cleveland. I'm here 12 years, and have Brent Kirby and Lost Fortunes, and the Jack Fords, and Hey Mavis, and the New Soft Shoe, and the Ohio City Singers.
All right, sounds great. And thanks to all of you for joining me. I really appreciate this. And the reason all three of these guys and a really terrific all-star band have gotten together here at the Beachland tonight is to do a tribute to the one and only great Mr. Towns Van Zandt. So that's why we're doing this this special edition of Burning River Fireside Chats as well. So I guess, Mr. Harper, since you're sort of the circus master around here getting things together... Can you just tell us a little bit about, you know, number one, why Towns? I know you've done tributes to him before here. And also, why these folks that are playing with you?
Well, Towns is, it's not a big secret. Towns is my songwriting hero. In my opinion, he's the greatest songwriter that ever lived. I love his music. I love his lyricism. And then the pictures that he paints, it's always meant a whole lot to me. And it's music that I listen to when everything is wrong in life. I can listen to Towns and say, hey, at least it's not that bad.
And if it ever does get his band down,
he is the original man with no feet.
But seriously, no, I really love Towns. I really love his music. And I think that it's sad that more people don't know about it and aren't aware of him. He's got a lot more fame now than he used to have. There are more people aware of his music than there used to be, but he's still not to where I'd like to have him. So as little as I can do, you know, something like this, I feel like it needs to be done just to get Towns' music and Towns as a person to more people, to get more people to look into who he was and what he was all about. Because Towns' music, it sounds cliche, but it really did completely change my life and the way I looked at writing songs and making records and stuff.
Awesome. Well, I kind of feel the same way, and that's why, you know, I wanted to bring this out to our readers and listeners too. Because Towns is so incredibly well-respected in the Americana community. You know, if you play or you write about that kind of music, you know him. But so many people just don't outside of that little close-knit group. So I guess, you know, Mr. Harper, GS went into this a little bit. But can you guys both just tell me a little bit about what Towns means to you and why you want to give him this tribute?
Yeah, well... I lived in Texas for 10 years in the 90s, and I was down there when at the end of Towns' life. I never actually did meet him because he was spending most of his time in Nashville at that point. But man, it seems like I knew everybody in his world, from John Carrick, who's the son of the folks at Sand Mountain Guitars in Houston, to Harold Eggers, who was his chauffeur slash whatever, to Rex Bell. I mean, all those guys were still around and it's just his the influence and the figure that he cut in the Texas music scene was undeniable. And I wasn't real aware of him growing up in Connecticut. When I moved down there, and I met all these people, and they just said, Towns, who's this Towns guy? So I got a hold of this Live at the Old Quarter, actually, and it was, yeah, like GS says.
The best record you can be introduced to.
Yeah, that's a perfect place to start, and it's a really intense, life-altering experience if you write songs.
Okay, and Brent, same thing.
Same thing in a way as both of these people, but I think I kind of came in from the back end a little bit. You know, I had heard Pancho and Lefty, and but I didn't hear Towns' version.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I always thought it was a great tune. And then when I made the connection of Towns, I was like, oh my gosh, who's this guy? You know, and ended up, I forget what the first CD, High, Low, and In Between, which was a compilation of a bunch of different things.
Yep.
And I kept playing it in my car over and over and over and over and over again. And I felt like there was this quality to him that wasn't necessarily present in a lot, like this earnest delivery and like this pensiveness and this thoughtness. And it seemed like the songs were economical. There was no fat, you know. Mm-hmm. All the words had weight, and I really admired that. And you know, definitely was an influence, you know, just in how to create a lyrical line, like you're saying lyrically. You know, how do you create a lyrical line without any fat?
Gotcha.
You
okay.
Look at these words, and they're just perfect, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like you say, when you listen to his songs, I mean, there's no extra flowery garbage in there. You know, there's none of the insane production.
We were talking about that last night as we were rehearsing. We're like, hey, it's basically just a verse and chorus.
Right.
We can get through this, you know?
Just do your thing, right?
Exactly.
So I guess, you know, you made an interesting point there, which is... the Towns, for a lot of people, I mean, obviously he was instrumental in the entire outlaw country movement, you know, that followed Willie from Nashville down to Texas and all that. But for a lot of people today, you know, he's kind of like Bob Dylan was early in his career. You know, people know some of his songs, but they don't know the versions by Towns. You know, they'll think of Pancho and Lefty as a Willie Nelson song or, you know, whatever it is they hear. And, you know, maybe they know of Steve Earle and they know of his connection. They've heard his album or some of his covers or something like that. But what is it for you guys about Towns himself and not just his music that makes him so important to listen to in the original? You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, you know, you mentioned Bob Dylan, and really that's a good place to start, because for me, I mean, a million bands and a million artists have covered Bob Dylan songs, and they're all, you know, most of them are good. You know, when you hear a Bob Dylan cover, it's usually a good version of the song. But to go back to the source and to hear it, to me, Bob wasn't the greatest singer in the world. You know, and his delivery could sometimes be spotty and sketchy, but to me, there's still, to this day, there's nobody I'd rather hear sing Bob's songs than Bob. Because that, you know, getting that source of it is where you really get the idea of where the song's coming from and how it's really, how the artist... To me, as a songwriter, it's important to find out how the song's supposed to sound, how it's really meant to be delivered, and the only way you can get that is from the writer, in my opinion. You know, in today's world, we've got a lot of corporate songwriters and songwriting conglomerates and corporations and groups, and it loses something from a pure songwriting standpoint of a guy writing a song and delivering it himself with nothing but an acoustic guitar. And to me, that's the mark of a good song. If it can stand up like that, it's a really good song. And if it can't, then it's not. And Towns has always stood up like that, better than any of the covers. I mean, I've got covers of him by Steve Earle and the Cowboy Junkies, and I mean, it goes on and on and on. And none of them, they all stand up as really good because the original songs were so good. And that's, I would encourage anybody who's really into good songwriting to listen to more Towns and listen to how he constructed these and delivered them on his own.
Well,
that to me was what moved me.
Towns is a really good guitar player too.
A lot of people don't realize that.
People totally don't realize that. And, you know, I think to what you were saying, it's important to hear the original versions just to kind of hear what the authors had in mind, but especially when somebody is as expressive on their accompaniment instrument. You know, it's like you really do get a sense that, you know, this was just, it's not just in a notebook somewhere. It's a fully formed guitar and vocal performance. And so, yeah, I would definitely recommend going back to the source.
It's a composition. No, it's not just a couple words.
Yeah, and the guitar, I mean, it's you know, there's all kinds of recordings of him with full album production, strings and vocals, and then the, you know, the small ensembles. And then just him and his guitar, it's all that any of those songs really need. And part of that is the songs, but also it's, you know, there's something to be said if you're just getting started as a solo acoustic performer. It's like you can really, there's a lot to be said for knowing how to do more than just strum.
Now, listening to Towns like that, he is a great guitar player. I mean, I've mentioned Towns to some people and they go, oh, he's that country guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, but his guitar player, you know, his guitar hero was Lightning Hopkins. And he's, I mean, watching him play by himself on video or listening to it is the same as watching, like, a young James Taylor or, you know, a young Jim Croce. I mean, his guitar playing was really a whole lot more than anybody ever guessed.
I think one of the things that first made an impression on me when I started listening to Towns was talking to him about my friends. This is when I lived in Milwaukee. My friend Dan was a huge Towns fan and had just gotten, saw him someplace, I don't remember where it was, and he said he got done with the show. It was an awesome, spectacular show, and then he just fell backward. And people wondered what happened, you know, and they're like, did he die? What happened? And he was just so drunk that he just fell backward and passed out. And to me, I was like, wow, but the show was really good, you know? and to me, I thought, and as soon as I started to dig into Towns, and I started to know about the issues that he had. And, mm-hmm. and to me, a big part of understanding the song is understanding the person and what they're going through. And that made a deeper connection in a way, because it was like all of a sudden I could just, I mean, the emotion that he was obviously going through and the things that he were thinking, I mean, they're just right there apparent, you know? And then you had the romantic thing of, like, you know, him and Guy Clark and all these just badass songwriters, you know,
right.
hanging out. I just love to be at that table. You know what I mean?
You ain't kidding, man.
Well, I think you brought up a really interesting point there, which is how much of the man and the music, for almost any songwriter, but especially for somebody with demons as big as Towns, you know, is really about what they're going through as a person. And I don't think you can separate those. I mean, when y'all did a truck driving nights a couple months ago, you know, you did White Freightliner, but specifically said, you know, this sounds like it's about a truck, but it ain't.
Right.
And that's so true. Like, when you listen to that song and you listen to it, you know, even just as Mary's going to sing it tonight, because I just got a little preview, but, you know, as Town sung it, like, you can hear the emotion in his voice at times, and you know exactly what's going through his head as he's singing about, you know, what's going on in his life. So I guess that's one of the things that I really get from him as a listener, you know, just being able to touch that part of him as a songwriter. And that's one of the things that I find in great songwriters they can do. You know, Lucinda Williams is the same way. Like, you listen to her voice and you can tell exactly what she was thinking
yeah.
when she was writing some of those songs.
Or John Prine, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John and Prine. I think the other part of it, too, that Towns had that I think is a mark of a great songwriter is the they were entertainers, and when they got up on stage, they told stories and made people laugh. And,
yeah.
You know, and the songs were funny. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them are really funny. You know, and comical and meant to be that way. You know,
and not funny in an obvious way. It was
no,
witty.
Funny. Yeah. Witty. Yeah. Witty's a much better way to do it. Yeah. But
that's
well, I think one of the best examples of that is Talking Thunderbird Blues. I mean, I just love that one. And there's so many levels you can look at that song. It's just, you know, a goofy song, but it's a great song in a lot of ways. And, you know, like you said, it's witty. It's not like fall off your chair laughing, slapstick funny, but it's got all those moments in there.
It's good wordcraft.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, going back to the honesty thing, you know, Towns, the songs were really real. You know, he really did tap into what. There's a story about him being at a party and sitting on a railing on a balcony and wondering what it would feel like to fall off all the way to the ground. So he leaned back as far as he could without falling, and he figured out, you know what, to really find out what it feels like, you just got to do it. So he let go and fell off. And I think he did the same thing with his songwriting. It was like, you know, if you really want to know what it's all about, then you got to do it. You know, you have to go out there and just really do it. That's the only way to be honest with it and to be really straight with it. And I think he did a really good job of that. Although I'm not in a hurry to fall off any
bottom. Yeah, I was going to say that. I haven't heard that story.
Yeah.
It sounds like it hurts.
Yeah.
Well, just don't go around any balconies when I'm there, because I might just push you off to see if that story brings
truth. How's that feel?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. In the key of E, damn it. Blues.
I'll scream like the girl in the key of E.
Oh, man. So, we're getting pretty close to showtime here, and I do want to start wrapping up, but I guess for each of the three of you, just because you are songwriters yourselves, you know, you talked a little bit about, you know, how Towns has influenced you, obviously, but, you know, what's the most important lesson that you have found from Towns when you go down and you want to write, you know, your own music? Like, Brent talks a little bit about the, you know, just the bare bones mentality being important. But I guess, you know, just from a songwriter's perspective, what do you guys think the best thing to learn from him is?
I think, you know, like I said, the economy of phrase, the economy of words and the weight of words, I take a lot from that. But I think also just the general vibe that he had when he was singing. His voice was spectacular, and just the way that he delivered it was just direct from here out, you know, and I always dug that, you know. And so when I try to sing, I try to do that too. You know, I like to think I succeed at that, you know.
But we're going to find out tonight.
I know, right? I think, you know, I learned early, my father was a singer-songwriter too, and he told me, you know, starting back in the 70s when I was a little kid. And of course, you know, it's amazing how little your parents know when you're young and how smart they get by the time you're older. But, you know, he used to tell me, you know, all the crazy electric guitars and the drums and the bass, it doesn't matter. If you don't have a song that can stand up with just you and your acoustic, then it's not a good song. Or you and your piano or whatever your instrument is. If you can't deliver your song like that and have people get the idea of what it's all about, then it's not a good song. You know, and it's all the rest is just gravy. And, I was, you know, a kid growing up in the 80s, and I liked all the rock stuff, and I was like, yeah, whatever, you know. But when I got older and I got into guys like Towns, especially, Bob Dylan, Towns really drove the point home. I'm like, these songs are amazing, and I don't miss any of that stuff. You know, I was the guy who was into all the crazy ripping guitar and the crazy drums and all the, you know, 80s rock and roll stuff, and I could listen to Towns and not miss any of that. The songs to me were even better than anything I was listening to, and that really drove the point home. And I think, you know, that's what's inspired me as a songwriter, to always try and have that song that can work that way with just a vocal and an acoustic guitar. And I feel like if I've done that and I'm confident about it, then I've written a good song.
I would agree. I mean, Towns for me was the guy that stared into the abyss, and it stared back, and he didn't walk away.
Mm-hmm. There's no flinching in his music.
No,
for sure.
it's really hard to do, and it's for me anyway. That's where the good songs come from, and it's like it's a difficult place to stay. It's hard enough to go there for a little while, but to stay for as long as he did, and to not just wallow in it, to actually like to do work out on that edge is a monumental psychic achievement. And the fact that, you know, he'd done his homework and he put his time in, and he knew how to make great songs out of the things that happened when he spent that time out there is just, I mean, that's... It's hard to explain how intense that is, and how much that's to be respected, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend it to everybody that I give guitar lessons to.
Right.
But if you're supposed to be there, you should at least bring back something good, and he was the best at that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so amazing that unfortunately we lost him. Given, you know, his life circumstances, but it's almost amazing that we had him as long as we did, because
absolutely,
like you said, he was on that edge for so long and got so much out of it. I don't think you can name another musician or another artist who even comes close in a lot of ways to that. And if you do, they're all guys like Hendrix or whoever who did go over that edge, you know? So I think it's one of the unfortunate parts about great art is sometimes it comes from people who, you know, we can't keep as long as we would like to, because that's the person they are.
You know, one of my favorite lines I told Mary the other day is, history rarely remembers a well-balanced artist.
That's true.
I certainly can't think of any off the top of my head, but...
Yeah.
So I guess just in closing, for the people who are listening to this, and, you know, maybe this is the first time they really are hearing about Towns, or maybe, you know, they know a little bit about him, like we said, from other artists, but they really want to get into his own music. You guys each kind of mentioned an album earlier on, but if you can just pick one song or one album that should be the thing that everybody knows by Towns Van Zandt, what would it be?
If I had to pick one song, I would say the version of Tower Song off Live at the Old Quarter. That would be my pick for an introduction to towns.
Okay. I think To Live Is To Flies.
Could you say that a little louder? I'm not sure we...
To Live Is To Flies.
Uh-huh.
That's my favorite town song.
Yeah, I mean, I just always been drawn to that one.
I played that at my grandfather's
funeral. Would you?
Oh, wow.
It means something. It does. It transfers, you know? It connects.
As far as I'm concerned, man, if you can handle waiting around to die, and you still want more, then you're probably a good candidate to be a lifelong Towns fan.
Very nice, very nice. And for those who want a little bit easier entry, I'll just say you can't get any better in some respects than Poncho Lefty. I mean, I've always had a special place in my heart for that just because of the Cleveland connection, obviously. But it is a great lyrical song that so many people overlook because, you know, they know it is a popular song and they don't really think about the story that's embedded in that song. So I really want to thank you guys for joining me.
This has been a lot of fun.
We don't get to do too many of these, but Towns is so important that, you know, I'm glad that we did. So Mary Cucciafello, G.S. Harper, Brent Kirby, thank you so much for joining me. And guys, if you ever get a chance, check out all three of these musicians because they are awesome and you will not regret it. So once again, this is Jason D. Diesel Hammond with another edition of No Surf Music, Burning River, Fireside Chat. I'm signing off and we're going to go listen to some great-ass town songs. Y'all have a good one. This has been a No Surf Music, Burning River, Fireside Chat. This is your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammond, signing off. Remember, No Surf Music is your source for the best in Americana, alt-country, indie rock, and more. For original reviews and interviews, visit nosurfmusic.com.